Testing, testing. Am I on? Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back here. Missing a Sunday because of sickness. Seems like we're still slowly recuperating from that. sitting in the house for a week and being trapped because everybody's sick and sometimes mess with your head a little bit. So I'm good to be out and about. So this morning I was encouraged to sit in my seat and just listen to the words that were shared, what the things that Paul shared, and your testimony along the lines of being freed from our sin. That message was coming out this morning, and that is a lot what I'd like to share about today, is being freed from your sins. I don't have a very long message. I would like to turn, if you don't mind, let's sing song number 736. We can maybe all stand and sing this song together. And maybe just allow God to speak to your heart. If you're here this morning and you are ensnared by sin, as Stephen shared this morning, maybe you're trapped by sin. Maybe you have already lived the pleasures of sin and it is now a bondage to you, but you don't know how to get free. Maybe you're just enjoying it yet. Maybe it's a ball. You're trapped by sin. And at the end of the day, nobody in this room wants to leave this earth trapped in their sin. So open your heart today. If you're in sin, God wants to speak to you. Song number 736. Though your sins be as scarlet. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Your may be red, they shall be as scarlet, though your sins Amen. Let's pray. And if you're in your seat this morning and you sung that song, answer the question. Are you in sin? Do you want your transgressions remembered no more? This is an opportunity for you to listen to the voice of God speaking to you. Because he says he can forgive all your transgressions. All of them. So hear the voice of God today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you know my heart. You know my desire this morning. I want to be hid in Christ. I want to share the word of God this morning. I want you to be glorified. I want to draw men to you. And the Bible says that if we lift up Christ, that he will draw all men to himself, Lord. And that is my desire this morning, is to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, that sinners can be found, Lord. Souls that are on their way to hell can turn around and come and find you, Lord. And they can be made new and they can be forgiven of all their transgressions, Lord. I pray that the spark would light in their soul, Lord. That the emptiness would just glare in their eyes this morning. That they're lost without you. Their transgressions are too big. Their sins are too many. Lord, just speak to those that are lost this morning in their sin. And speak to us this morning who have tasted and seen and had our transgressions forgiven, Lord. That we would look to the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We come to you this morning for help. In Jesus' name, amen. The line in that verse really spoke to me. He'll forgive all your transgressions. So as you're here this morning, be honest with God. As you're sitting in your seat, I don't care if you're 10 or 11, maybe you're 30, maybe you're 12 or 15, 20. It doesn't matter. There's always a time in our life when we have to get honest with ourselves. We have to figure out whether we're serious about God or we're just having a ball and living life. There is a time in life when you have to finally say, God, I'm done. And if you haven't done that, God is going to speak to you this morning because his word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It says that it divides the thoughts and the intents of your heart. I would like to say that it divides what you act like you want to what you actually want. God can divide that. And he can make it clear to you this morning. If you're lost, you're lost. And the opportunity for you is amazing. You can be forgiven all your transgressions. This morning, we are going to highlight a verse, and the title of our message is, Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. This title was taken out of the Gospel of John. Jesus said, or John was in the wilderness preaching, and he was baptizing, and the Pharisees came up on the scene and they were asking, who are you? They said, are you a prophet? Or they didn't know. They thought he was the Messiah. And John said, let's just turn there. John was in the middle of the transition from the new, from the old to the new. Find it here. One second. Sorry, we're turning to John chapter 1, verse 29. I should have said that. He tells them in 26, he says, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. There's someone among you this morning that you don't know. You don't know. And later in his journey, I think it was a day later, John was walking along and he says he saw Jesus coming. And that's where we get our title this morning. I don't know who was around him at that point or whether the Pharisees were even there anymore, but all of a sudden he looked up and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that can take away the sin of the world." Did you see the excitement in John's heart? Behold, the Lamb of God can take away the sin of the world. The excitement to be freed from the bondage of sin. Behold, the Lamb of God. He can take away your sin this morning. The Lamb of God only can take away your sin. And that was exciting to John. That was excitement. You know, I don't know how that is for you. Is that excitement? Behold, the Lamb of God. He can take away all my sin. 1 Peter, it talks about the Lamb of God. It says he was spotless, without blemish. It says we were redeemed, not with silver or gold, with corruptible things, no, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And I had to think of the snow falling this morning as I woke up and looked out and I seen just a completely different picture. Things were no longer brown, they were white. White. And I was like, this is beautiful. And I had to think of David when he was in the valley, when he had sinned against God and he had committed adultery. He says in Psalms 51, he cried out to God. He said to purge me with hyssop. He said, and wash me that I can be whiter than snow. He didn't like his sin. Do you like your sin this morning? No, he wanted to be clean. He wanted to be whiter than the snow. Do you want to be whiter than snow this morning? Cry out to God. Be sick of it. The only way you can be ready to be white as snow is you have to be done with the dirt. You have to be done with the filth of your sin. Then you can cry out, clean me, God. Make me whiter than snow. But if you love your sin, that cry will not be on your lips. Whiter than snow. Isaiah 1:18 says, come, let's reason together. Let's reason. Let's talk about it. Let's think about this. Let's just be real here. Let's sit down this morning like we're in a family setting and let's reason together. Are you in sin this morning? Do you love your sin? Let's consider this morning. He said, if you do, he said, come, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Now, what a promise. Isaiah is telling us, don't be foolish and overlook your sin. Don't sit around and consider it just another day in life and a fun game. If you're living in sin, consider it. Stop this morning. Wait. Let's have a conversation about your sin. Because Isaiah said, come, because though they're red like crimson, he said, they'll be like wool, clean, new. You can be a new person. Behold the Lamb of God. I can only imagine in that transition of time where the old Pharisees that have sacrificed lamb after lamb and bull after bull and sheep after sheep and however that all worked and whenever they did it, but they did a lot of sacrificing for their sin year after year after year. As we're going to see in Hebrews, they did it over and over and over. But it says it was never to the appeasing of the conscience. If you're here this morning, maybe you're like some of those old Pharisees in the days of John the Baptist when he was walking along the river and he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Maybe you're like, well, hold on a second here. I got some things figured out. You know, me and old grandpa talked this out. And this is the way it is. We can, it's good enough for me. I don't need to surrender and die and humble myself and become nothing because I'm somebody.
John, who do you think you are? Telling me that I have to look to the Lamb of God. I have sacrificed bulls and goats and sheep and cattle for my sin. I'll handle my sin. Maybe that's you this morning. I assume there were men like that. I don't know. It doesn't spell that out. But I assume there were men like that. But maybe you're here this morning like I was. At a tender age of 17 years old. And when someone told me, behold, the Lamb of God. Nate, when my Uncle Steve told me, Nate, that Lamb can take your sin away. I was like, I want that. Do you want that this morning? Or do you like your sin? Are you still loving the pleasure of it? That's who I'm speaking to this morning. If you love your sin, because the reality is, when a man is bound by it, he don't love it no more. Sin long enough, my friend, and I promise you, you'll hate your sin. You'll hate your sin. The Lord motivated me this morning to share a little bit of my testimony. If I would have been in John's day, I don't know how I would have responded. But I do know how I responded. When my Uncle Steve told me, Nate, behold the Lamb of God that'll take your sin away. I said, Steve, I want my sin to go away. I grew up a young man in a home where we had a reverent fear of God. We knew there was a God that hated sin. That we did know. And I didn't know how to get away from him. I didn't know how to get away from this angry God. I was a very fearful boy. I lived in a lot of fear. We had a lot of turmoil in our home. My mom and dad, they were victims of life circumstances as well, and their generation. And they didn't know how to get along either. And they fought a little bit. Well, I was a little boy, and I was afraid. I remember nights going up to my room, and this was my prayer, because I wanted to have peace with God. I was probably 6 or 7, maybe 8 years old. I don't know who, but in that day, I had a lot of sin in my life already. But I had a lot of fear that gripped me, and I was afraid to die. And I was sitting in my room and I would pray. I wanted to appease God like the men did back in the day where they said, we're going to sacrifice a goat for the sin. I should have never stole your gold last week. I'm going to sacrifice a goat. But next week he stole the gold again. I should have never lusted after your goods. And he sacrificed a goat and he lusted again. You see, that was me. I had no power. I remember going to work and saying, okay, today I'm not going to swear one time. One time. Okay. So I get up and I start and I'm going. Okay, don't swear. Don't swear. Boom. I'm swearing and I give up. Swear all day. You're done. Defeated. No hope. But at night, I was afraid. I wanted to appease God. So I'd kneel beside my bed, and I would tell God that I love. This is a bit humorous. Now, my boys laugh at me sometimes when I say this, but this is what I would pray. I would kneel down, and I would tell God that I love Moses, and I love Jacob, and I love Aaron. What the world am I praying? Listen, and I love whoever I could think of, all the old Bible patriarchs and all the God-fearing men that I knew God must have loved, I would pray and tell God I love all of them. And guess what I'd do? I'd think that I appeased God because I'm on his side now. You see? No. That may seem humorous, and it is a little bit, but it didn't take away my sin. You see, like the men of old, The calves didn't take away their sin. I prayed a lot of those prayers, telling God I love all those old men, and I kept right on a sinning. I'm here to tell you this morning, the only way to be free from your sin is to get on your knees and behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He will take your sin away. The Bible says it, and it's a promise. Behold the Lamb of God. He'll take your sin away. Who don't want their sin to go away? And I was a fearful boy. I was afraid that if I didn't do something, that I would go to hell. I was certain of it. But as I grew older, I began to put a cover on. And I began to figure out how to push out the weight of sin. I remember sitting in a church service as a young man, and I remember the minister standing up there, and he preached hellfire and brimstone, and I was death afraid. He didn't tell me how to get freed from my sin. He just told me that all sinners go to hell. And I was afraid because I knew he was right and I was one of those sinners. And I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? Because I'm going to hell and I don't know how to stop going to hell. And I said, I got to get up. I got to go out. So I got up and I went out, and my buddies were out there. And we just stood around a little bit, and that weight was still there. But all of a sudden, one of my buddies were like, did you see who won last night? And I'm like, no, who won? Why, you got beat. Oh, bummer. Okay, what happened? Why'd they lose? What, he fouled out. He had too many fouls, and they took the big guy out, and we lost. Oh, man, all of a sudden I was, man, I'm going to check that out when I get home. I'm sure it's in the paper. You know, we got the Sunday paper, and the weight of my sin. All right, and then all of a sudden we started talking. Monday when we get to school, I'll tell you what, hey, quiet. Maybe you're here today, and that's what you do with your sin. I don't know, but that's what I did with my sin. I remember where I was standing in an old hip roof barn off of Bruick Road, and I was just a little guy, but I was so afraid because I had so many sins. But I remember standing by that water tank, and the weight of it went away because I was dabbling. I took my mind away from it. I went to another source, and I was like, this feels good. Now I'm happy. We're gonna listen to the ball game tomorrow night. We're gonna, I don't know what you do to kill the conscience. I don't know what you do, but you do something because you're a real person. You do something. You're not a robot. You have to kill the conscience, or else you have to come to the Lamb of God. That's who takes care of the sins of the world. So I remember going home, and I would wrestle. I'd go down and tell my dad and mom, I can't sleep. I'm afraid. And my dad would say, just go to bed. Stop it. And God bless his heart, he's born again, and he'd never do that to me again. He didn't know what to tell me. He said, get to bed and just go to sleep. Me and mom are trying to sleep. Or lay down there on the end of our bed. I'd lay at the end of their foot of their bed because I was scared, because I was filled up with sin, and it didn't take care of my sin, you see? And as I went on, I lived more and more in sin, and I went into sports heavy. Buddy, we're going to learn how to play ball. We're going to be the best we can be. We're going to win when we play the tournament. We're going to win. We're going to figure it out how to play ball. And someday, I told myself, I'm going to leave home and I'm going to go to college. And I'm going to play professional basketball because I thought. So I told my dad, hey, do you think anybody like me could ever play college basketball? And he said, no. I said, phew, what am I going to do with my life? How am I ever going to have fun? How am I ever going to make it? Because that's the only thing I have. My sin in sports and college basketball. I have to go play college basketball, but I didn't go play college basketball. And I remember when I turned 15, I went to school, and me the earliest memory I have of blatant sin would probably be second grade. I don't know what's a second grader. Carson, are you in second grade? That's right. So you're here this morning, and exposure to sin at a young age is detrimental. It has a binding effect. And at second grade, I believe, is when I was first exposed to some really dark sins in life, and I went like this. Just kept right on going. And then I turned 16, and I got a horse, and I bought a buggy, and I said, you know what? Now I got it. I'm on my own. This is really cool. So I went, and I bought a bunch of Chevy stickers, and I stickered up my buggy, and I put some neon lights underneath my buggy, and of course, in the culture that I grew up in, we couldn't have a super short haircut. I'm only telling you that I love the world. I love the world that was inside my world. And I said, okay, well, I got to figure out how to cut some of this hair off because I got to be cool. And all this sin is just moving around and just, we're just. And so I went and I couldn't sneak the clipper out of the house, so I was using tin snips to clip my hair. Listen, I wanted to be cool. I wanted to fill the void in my soul. I wanted to have a short haircut. And I wanted to have a cool buggy. And I wanted to have a cool horse. And I wanted to have neon lights. And I wanted to be cool with my sin. Can anyone in here identify with that? Please, somebody, anyone. Yes, all of us. Cool, we got this. We got this. But wait, we get home and it's dark and we lay down. The weight of our sin, guess where it went? It's still there. It's still there. How can it still be there? I'm on my own. I've got my own buggy. I got my own horse. I can go where I want. But my sin is still there. This is a very fast-forwarded testimony, very brief. But I remember one night. I remember one night when I went somewhere with my horse that I thought was pretty neat, with my cool buggy, and probably tried to deck out my hair a little bit then, too. I went somewhere that night, and when I was ready to leave, I said, hey, where's Dan? I don't remember. So I called one of my friends. I said, where's Dan? And they said, I don't know. I never seen him. So I called another guy and I said, where are they at? Where are they all at? Somebody said, well, I seen some of them up there on the patio. So they're probably up there. I don't know what they're doing. So I went up there, and I instantly walked into the presence of God. My weight of my sin was just huge. All of a sudden, something was saying, behold, the Lamb of God that'll take your sin away. And I remember standing in that port, that patio, and there were some men standing around there, and they were asking some of these young guys if they're free from sin. And I'm like, no, they're going to ask me about my sin. I know they are. And I was like, how do I get away? And I was like, oh, they saw me. So I just moved in. There was a moment of temptation where I thought, you know what? I'm going to put on a show. Because I can put on a show. But I remember when my uncle looked at me and he says, Nate, what about your sin?
Sometimes it's good to just look back. And just get a fresh perspective of life. As you go on with God, trials can be hard. But I remember that night he said, what about your sin, Nate? And I said, I have no idea, Steve. He handed me a piece of paper and a pen, and he said, write them down. Write them down. All of them. Don't hold nothing back, Nate. God will forgive you. God will save you to the bottom. Write them down. And I remember sitting there, shaking, writing down my sins. I'm like, I ain't gonna write that one. No! That one too, God. And I said, Steve said, just write them all down. And he led me to God that night. He told me, behold, the Lamb of God will take your sin away, Nate. And he took that paper, and we read through those sins, and I got on my knees, and he put this paper in the fire. And that paper went up in smoke. And some of you are here that remember that night. One very vivid memory I have is they asked Philip, what about you? He said, I'm saved. And I said, what? What was that? He knows. He got something. He got something that I don't got. Because he wasn't afraid of Steve. He wasn't afraid of this stuff. You see, I was like, ugh. But when I was done that night, my weight was gone. The clouds didn't open up. Angels didn't fall out of the sky. I didn't change the color of my hair. I went home in the exact same horse and buggy. I was still Nate Loniker, but I was a brand new person. I was a brand new person. If you are still an old man, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. He'll take your sin away. Maybe you've been walking with God and you no longer behold the Lamb of God. Maybe you have found yourself wandering back to sin. I tell people that the number one thing for us as people is we tend to go back to not something new. Not something new. The same old junk. The same old junk. If you found yourself going back, the message is the same. Behold, the Lamb of God. He'll take your sin away. So that night was the start of my journey. And I can assure you this morning that it is not the end of your life if you choose Christ. But the Bible has promised me that he's going to be closer than a friend. And he has always proven himself true. Closer than a friend. God has always been closer than a friend. I don't know if I have time to do this. I was actually going to go to Hebrews 10. And we may do that just briefly. And I'm just going to go across this chapter because I was going to read it a little more extensive. But the nutshell of this chapter is that Paul told the Hebrew people, he said that the bulls and the goats and the calves didn't do it. They didn't do it. And there's a verse here that I want to read. It says, in verse 5, it says, wherefore when he cometh into the world, speaking of Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offerings, he's talking to God, thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared. Jesus is saying, you have, here am I.
Jesus said to God, I know that you didn't want that. I know that you didn't want those long years of suffering and sin. I know that you didn't want to deal with all these sacrifice of goats and bulls and cattle. He says, here's a body. Jesus told the Lord, he said, here's a body that's prepared to be the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. What a beautiful picture this morning that Jesus offered his body. Jesus offered. Nobody wrangled him in with a rope and tied him up and held him down. Jesus said, here's a body. Here's a body. Sacrifice it for the sins of the whole world. In the earlier part of chapter 10, he says, these things could never appease the conscience. Jesus is saying, I will sit down at the right hand of the Father, and it'll be done. Sins will be dealt with. Men can come to me and be delivered of their sin. What a message. What a message. Sometimes I feel foolish because we don't give this message out. You can be delivered from your sin. There ain't a person in the world who wants to live with the weight of sin. Don't lie to me. You don't want it. I know better. I know better. It looks like you do, but you don't want your sin. I know you don't. I know you don't. Because I was a man just like you and I didn't want my sin. Because it was heavy. It was hard. And Jesus said, here's a body. Sacrifice of bulls and goats I know you didn't want. Here I am. He said, I come to do the will of God. He came to this earth. It was his pleasure to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was to redeem mankind back to himself out of their sin, out of your sin. There was an old way. John was in the transition. The old way was to pull up your bootstraps, to figure out how to be better. And I remember my mother telling us, today is communion, now behave yourselves. When we get home, we're going to have a clean slate. The old way. The bulls and the cattle, the sacrifices. And I thought in my mind, okay, I'm pretty young, but someday I can go too, and I can come home. And I wonder how that'll be to have a clean slate. Oh, to the thousands and thousands disappointed days when they come home and their slate is still full. Their weight is still there. The old way never took care of the conscience. Never took care of the sin. But there's a new way. There's a new way. I was planning to read this a little bit more extensive. But as you read, go home and read Hebrews 10. The beautiful picture of the old and the new. Jesus is the new way. God hated the sin offerings. He hated them. And he said, I am going to offer my son for your sin. Now imagine this morning, if you hold on to your sin and reject his son. Do you see the contrast, how different this is? The weight that you've carried, God wants to lift off your chest. The other beautiful part about this is, I remember when I got born again and I found the Lord. I remember how I used to say, okay, today, not that sin. No. This is a line in the sand. I'm not going to do that sin today. Boom. I did that sin before break time. Can I identify with that? That was having the law of the old law. This is a new law. He says that if you come to me, and you receive this offering, this body. Behold the Lamb of God. That'll take your sin away. He says something very powerful. He says, then I will put my laws into your hearts. If you are being drug into the kingdom and you're being drug around to try to be a good boy, maybe you're outside. Because when God, when you take a look at the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, I remember not hating it. I was like, that's it. And I remember God coming into my life and he put his law in my heart. And all of a sudden I looked back and I said, I never did that. What? I never said that. What? The law of God in your heart. That comes when you look. When you look. Behold, the Lamb of God. That won't come when you thank God or tell him you like Moses or Aaron or Noah or Jacob or Daniel. I would like to tell you that that is the old way. That is the old way. And when I was all done, there it was. My sin was all still there. The new way. Behold. The Lamb of God that'll take your sin away. If you want that, come to Jesus. That's the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for our sins. I pray this morning that if you're in this room, do not waste your years in sin. But come, behold the Lamb of God. He promises, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I thought about singing that song again, 7:36, and I will be closing. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Rise to your feet. Let's sing 7:36. Though your sins be as scarlet. Now that we've just went into this message, we've talked about the Word of God. Consider your life again. Are your sins scarlet? Are they red like crimson? Are they many? Are they too much for you to bear? He'll forgive all your transgressions. Though transgressions. There's no respect of persons. No amount of sin that's too much. He'll forgive all your transgressions. He'll forgive.